Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. With our Bibles open, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the extraordinary privilege that you have given us, that you have so made it to be that it is no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us, that he himself, who said that he is the light of the world, would turn around and say unto us that we are to be the light of the world by Christ in us, by the power of his might in us. Oh, help us, we pray, as we begin now in this section of your word. Grant your spirits attending our speaking and our hearing, that by this portion of your truth, you also would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth, so that we would be one with another by being one with Christ, who is one with you, and that you who have glorified yourself in him, whom you glorify in us, would receive all the glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 13, these are God's words. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. One of God's mercies to us as we come to this passage this Lord's Day evening is that we come to it having come through the whole book of Ephesians, so that we can read and hear and think about it in context, which often is not the case for those who merely jump into the spiritual warfare. And we see that the apostle by the Spirit is picking up something that he began in chapter 5. In chapter 5, he said, walk in love. Chapter 5, verse 2, he said, walk as children of light. And he talks about exposing the deeds of darkness, because we were darkness, but God has transformed us into light. And when we live as light, when we walk as light, we expose the deeds of darkness. And then in verse 15, he says, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And now in chapter 6 and verses 10 through 13, he picks up some of those notes that we are wrestling against the rulers of the darkness of this age. That as we live as those who were darkness but have been transformed into light, we are opposed not to those who are still darkness, but to the spiritual rulers who have them under their sway and in bondage to them. And in verse 13, he picks up the notes of walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil, talking about how we are to withstand in the evil day. So it's clear that the apostle is actually picking something up that he has been talking about the whole time. And now we, because of our own sinfulness, understand perhaps a little bit more why he tells us that we are not necessarily wrestling against flesh and blood. Because if you look at the areas of life in which he has said that we are to live as light instead of darkness, what has he talked about? He's talked about marriage. He's talked about personal parent-child relationships. He's talked about your everyday work, boss, employee kind of stuff, or master and slave, and whatever shape that that looks like in your everyday work. And if you got problems in your marriage, you might think that you're wrestling against your spouse. And if you've got, if you're having a hard time obeying and honoring your parents, you might think that you're wrestling against your parents. And I dare say there are a number of parents who, in training up their children, have fallen into thinking that they are wrestling against their children. And certainly in the workplace, don't we often feel like we're wrestling against flesh and blood? But the apostle by the Spirit here says, don't make that mistake. You're not wrestling against those people. You are wrestling against the devil himself. And he is powerful, evil, and organized. A lot of people make a lot of comments on verse 12, trying to figure out which ones are the principalities, and which ones are the powers, and which ones are the rulers, and which ones are the spiritual heads of wickedness. But the scripture just doesn't give us enough information to particularly identify the various ranks. The point is that there is an enemy who is powerful and evil and organized. But you have the high ground, dear Christian. Because where does he attack? He has to attack you in the heavenly places, doesn't he? Isn't that something we've seen mentioned multiple times in the book of Ephesians? That Jesus Christ has ascended and that we are seated with him in the heavenlies. That the display of the grace of God in Christians who live transformed lives on earth is a display that occurs even in glory, in our union with him, as angels marvel at the glory and grace of God in his Son Jesus Christ, in still battling against their fleshliness, sinners on earth, who have yet been made right with God. By grace you've been saved through faith, who are walking in good works, who are living as citizens of the kingdom of light, and even children of God himself. You have the high ground. Your enemy is organized and powerful and wicked, but he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Sometimes the apostle refers to those to whom he's writing as his children. Doesn't seem that surprising to us that he uses that language with the Corinthians. And he does refer to Timothy also as his dear child in the Lord. But there's some intentionality here of his using the word brethren. Because we might say, well, I lack what Paul has to fight the spiritual battles Paul fights. But is godliness in your marriage an easy spiritual battle? Or in honoring your parents, is that easy? From the heart? Or in rearing your children, or in your everyday work. But you hear the apostle as he comes into this, he says, my brethren, and after he finishes talking about the armor of God and in the Spirit with all prayer, he doesn't even finish the sentence before he says, praying also for me. You see what he's saying? He's saying, you and I have been given in the resurrected, ascended, reigning Lord Jesus, the same power, the same resources, the same life from which to live in our marriages, in our parent-child relationships, in our everyday work that the Apostle Paul was given for his ministry as an apostle. So do not underestimate the enemy. But do not underestimate the greatness of the resources that you have in Christ. For you are already seated with him in heaven. Live on earth. Live in your marriage as someone who, by the kind of wife you are going to be and the kind of husband you are going to be, is bringing Jesus the glory of having transformed you from darkness into light, so that the organized and powerful and wicked forces of the devil suffer humiliation in the heavenly places as the kind of wife and husband you are. Is one that the only explanation for that is united to Jesus. That didn't come from her. That didn't come from him. Obey your parents in the Lord. Right? Do you remember that? In the Lord. So that as you obey your mom and dad and honor them from the heart, and there's diligent cheerfulness, and when you speak in a way that isn't as honoring as it could have been, and your heart smites you, and you come and say, Mom, I'm sorry, I could have said that better. That Jesus is glorified. Because the only way that came out of your lips and out of your life on earth is because you are united to him and seated with him in heaven. And the angels praise God for transforming this child. And the forces of hell suffer humiliation. Because you were given the high ground in Christ. And so verses 10 through 13 give us the nature of our battle, the nature of the enemy, and the nature of the resources by which we fight that enemy. Even our Lord Jesus himself. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord, how we thank you and praise you for this inestimable privilege that it is not only for our good that you have joined us to Christ, so that we may enjoy good marriages and enjoy good relationships with parents and children and enjoy fulfillment in our work, but that you have given us the privilege of being those in whom the greatness of your glory in Christ is put on display, and the powerful, organized, wicked forces of the enemy suffer humiliation. O Lord, glorify yourself by what you do in our marriages, in our homes, in our workplaces. And we pray that as we come in following weeks to think about and hear from your word what it is to put on the armor, that you would bless it to us for the glory of Jesus. In his name we ask it. Amen.